Welcome to the Handy Guys Podcast, where we work together to complete that honey-do list, featuring answers to your questions and head-to-head tool challenges. Let's get started with the show with the Handy Guys, Brian and Paul.
Welcome to the Handy Guys Podcast, episode number 34. And today we're going to answer a user question, which is a good one, about hot water heaters and a problem that one of our listeners has had. And also we're going to address another issue that another listener sent in, emailed us about, and that is how to prepare your home for the winter in the coming winter months, which actually aren't that close, but you got to get started early on these long list of to-do items.
Yeah, if you're going to add all of these things to your honey-do list, we want you to start now.
That's right. Okay, but before we do that, let's give out our contact information. Please email us if you have questions about your house. We've been fielding questions even as we speak. This week we've gotten some, and I would say we always answer the questions, and there's a good chance we'll use your question on the show. So email us at us@handyguyspodcast.com or go to our website,
www.handyguyspodcast.com, or you can always call us, area code 615-676-0877.
And you can drop us a voicemail through that phone number. But today, first up is one of our listeners sends in a good question about the hot water heater, or shall we call it the cold water heater, and one of the problems that you can have with the TNP valve. Why don't, Brian, first of all, you describe the situation that Devin has with her hot water heater.
Okay. Devin's problem is water on the floor.
Oh, well, that's not good.
No.
You don't want to have water on the floor, and in fact, I guess it was a lot of water on the floor.
Yeah, I don't know how much, but what precipitated the problem was that the Devin had turned the setting back to the vacation setting to save a little bit of energy while they were out of town.
Sure.
And when the water, or when the temperature was turned back to the normal temperature setting, that is when they noticed water on the floor.
So Devin got back from vacation, turned it the hot water heater back to normal, and soon after that, Devin found water on the floor.
Right.
Okay. So what are the possible problems here? You know, I think Devin went through and looked over the hot water heater, didn't see any obvious, you know, issues with, you know, no, a hole in the water tank or, water on somewhere on the tank, condensation.
Or continuous leaking. I mean,
right,
it was just, there was no
exactly
obvious place for the leak. We had several emails back and forth with Devin. Also, there was some question about the configuration of the,
yes,
TNP valve. When Devin bought the home,
right,
the inspector had mentioned something, but Devin didn't remember quite what that was.
And also about the expansion tank, right?
Right, that there was no expansion tank on the hot water heater.
Big hint there.
That's a clue as to what might be going on. So here's what the Handy Guy's hypothesis is, and we have verified this with little additional research, and that is as the temperature heated up the water for the first time, there was no place in the system for the expanding water to go. Hence, the TNP valve, temperature and pressure valve, did its job and released some of that water down the overflow tube and onto the floor.
Right. The TNP valve prevents the hot water heater from essentially blowing up, or, you know, and it allows that extra pressure to go out of the tank before there's any further damage done to the cold water tank.
Right. Now, in newer systems, a way to prevent this is to have an expansion tank.
Right. And so you put the expansion tank on the supply side of the hot water heater.
And what that does is it serves as a cushion. So as water heats and cools and so forth, the that additional volume of water required in the system for hotter water than colder water gets taken up by this a bladder inside that expansion tank.
Right. So as the water expands, you have a full tank. She cranked it back on after vacation. The water expands. It needs somewhere to go, and it tries to push itself up through the supply line, but there's a lot of street pressure there, right? There's nowhere for it to go, and if you have this bladder, it will absorb that extra pressure and prevent the water from going out the TNP valve.
Yeah. Now, what could also be a problem, you know, so the bottom line is an expansion tank will prevent this from happening. Also, it is possible that it is a weak TNP valve. In other words, the TNP valve is on its last legs and let go a little too early, perhaps, right?
So the hot water heater doesn't have a good bladder, so...
Right, so...
the TNP valve.
Right. Okay, so it's possible it's a defective TNP valve. That, in conjunction with lack of a expansion tank, caused the problem. So, generally speaking, Devin, if this does not continue and it's not a regular occurrence, you may be okay. The other piece of information Devin gave us was the water heater is about 8 years old.
Right, and we talked about a typical water heater, how long it lasts.
It lasts about 1 month longer than the warranty period. Right. Right?
Yeah, so if it's a 6 year or a 12 year or 10, you know, whatever it is, usually that's geared pretty closely to how long that anode rod lasts inside the tank. And then once that rod, you know, I think a typical anode rod we decided lasts about 5 or 6 years. Once the water eats and all the particles eats away at that thing, then it starts going after your tank. So it just depends on the warranty and how many anode rods are in this tank on how long it's going to last.
Right. So if, you know, you don't want to throw good money after bad. And if Devin's not comfortable doing the repairs,
sure,
you know, putting a new TMP valve on there, putting an expansion tank on there and has to bring in a plumber, instead of doing all that repair and retrofit, it may be worthwhile just to replace the heater as a preventative measure. But,
right, but you can put on the expansion tank. You just have to put on a T on the supply side and put
sure.
the tank in. It takes maybe an hour or so for a plumber to put that whole thing in.
Yeah, not
depending
even
on
an
the
hour,
access
but,
you know that
yeah.
you have to the whole situation.
Right.
If it's stuck under like your basement stairwell or something,
right?
It might be.
I don't know anyone
more
who would do that, but. But yeah. So if you know, if you can solder, you know, two or three joints, you can certainly install the pressure tank. All right.
So thanks a lot for the question, Devin. And now we move on. And the rest of our episode is about preparing your house and your lawn and your whole property for the coming winter months. What do you need to do to get ready for the winter? And we'll talk about that right after this.
You're listening to the Handy Guys Podcast.
All right, we're back and we're finished talking about cold water heaters. And we want to just talk about cold weather now and about preparing your house. And actually, we had an email from Mike who sent us some tips about items you need to take care of before it gets cold, at least if you live in the northerly climates, right?
That's right.
So let's talk about some of his tips, and he had such a good list, there's really not much we can need to do to add to it, and let's just go through his list. He says that you should install storm windows and doors.
Sure, I already have a door on my house, but that was yeah. storm door. Right.
So, yeah, I like the storm doors actually year-round, so like, you know, also in the, you know, the summer months I can, you know,
you can
put a screen in it.
Right. Yeah, I don't have that. I'd like to do that.
Me too.
It's on my honey-do list, Mike. Thanks a lot. So older houses often have storm windows. If they don't, definitely put them on if
right.
you have single pane glass. Newer houses just have double pane glass.
So you don't need the storm windows.
And no storm windows.
Right. And triple pane glass if you're really far north, I guess.
Okay. So next on Mike's list, installing clear plastic on the inside of windows and or use seal and peel caulk.
All right, I have something to say about this clear plastic stuff. This is the stuff you put up on the window, and then you use a hairdryer. And I have two things to say about it. First of all, you know, you use a hairdryer to make it seal so it's clear
right.
and
it
you don't see the wrinkles.
It shrinks it
right.
a little bit so it's nice and tight.
Yeah.
You know, you could bounce a
right.
coin off it if
sure.
it was horizontal.
All right, a couple things. One is, it actually does work. It stops the drafts.
Stops drafts. If you have old drafty windows, it
yep.
sure does.
It does work. Two, actually I have more than two things.
All right, let's hear what
it's
else.
It's a pain to install.
Why is that?
You have to find a good clean surface all around. If you're in an old home, you know, with the paint or, you know, old wood and not a smooth surface, it doesn't always seal, or you're looking for a good place to seal. It's just a pain. You got to get it perfect. And then the other thing is, it doesn't last. So if it's in a window, especially that gets a lot of sun and it heats up and heats and cools, by February, the thing is all loose again and you can heat it up again, but then the seals around it start to fail. and it just starts to look really bad. So February, you're ripping it all out. And it's not cheap. I mean, it adds up. It's not that expensive per window, but if you have a lot of windows, that's a lot of time. So that, I mean, I could see if it was a really drafty window, possibly, but to do it for more than just a couple, it's kind of a pain.
We had that on my house when I was a kid. We did that mm-hmm. in a couple of rooms.
Sure.
And the type we used had sort of like a channel that attached permanently.
Oh.
Like the kind of channel like a window screen would use
right.
To roll the spline into to hold screening material.
Sure.
Except you pushed in a little plastic strip that held your clear plastic in place so you could leave those channels on all year long.
See,
and you could reset and adhere that plastic year after year.
That might make some sense, because the other issue that I didn't even mention about the 3M stuff or whoever makes it, there's a couple different brands, is that when you do peel off those double-sided tape,
pulls tape the paint off.
Sometimes it pulls paint, especially if it's an older house with multiple coats, and yeah.
So
it's kind of like rats.
But you know, if you're in an older home and you have drafty windows and you can't afford storm windows,
sure. I've used it.
That's a good alternative, and it's going to help save on energy bills.
That window right behind your back where you watch TV, you know.
Exactly.
So, all right. And then he also mentions this Seal and Peel caulk, which is a new product. I didn't know about it when I lived in my old home, my 100-year-old home, but I've seen it since. And this would have been perfect for me because I had some gaps around some of the windows where it was clear the air was coming through. And I tried some of the other kinds of caulk that comes off, you know, the hand roll stuff. It's like Play-Doh. You put it in there, but then that's kind of gets messy. But this stuff, I haven't tried it, but it looks like it has some potential.
Yeah, I used it on something of a long time ago. I can't remember what, but I don't think it was a window. But yeah, you kind of like press it in place. It's got a little plastic backer. You peel it off, and it's white or an off-white in color. So if you have white trim, it kind of blends in.
Well, I actually
and then
thought
it comes out pretty easily.
Yeah, some of this actually doesn't it come out through a standard caulk tube.
Oh, yeah? No, I haven't looked at that one. One I'm talking about was in a roll.
Yeah, I know.
And you kind
That's
of like
I
roll
had.
It off and then yeah. kind of push it in
No,
there.
I think some of the Seal and Peel caulk, we'll have to check it out. But I think there are some that is sold now that I've seen advertised, which you use. It comes out a standard caulk tube, but then it comes and pulls off sort of like a silicone caulk that doesn't stick too much. Yeah, something like that. So we'll have to look into that.
Okay, very good. Yeah, when you wrote Seal and Peel caulk, I was just picturing the stuff in the roll and you just press it in.
Yeah, we'll have to look into that one. Turn off your outside water and drain hoses to avoid freezing. Yeah, that's a good idea.
You know, I don't do that anymore, though. I have the newer frost-free Silcox, you know. So the way they work is the stem from the handle is very, very long, and it goes into the inside of your house, usually in the basement, and shuts the water off in a heated or a warmer space, so you don't need to drain those faucets. What you used to have to do is shut the water off in the basement and then open the outside spigot to let any water drain out.
Sure. I have those antifrost or freeze Silcox, and I still turn my water off just because, you know, I like the double protection, and I don't need them anyway in the winter, so.
Sure. And, you know, I installed a new faucet on the in my garage for, you know, washing the cars and whatever. And I did the same thing. I put a shut-off valve in the basement that I could shut it off in the winter, even though I did use the frost-proof. And draining the hoses, too. I've never done that.
Huh.
And I have had leaky hoses and, you know, hoses that the rubber is stretched out and so forth. So.
All right, the next thing he has on his list is check the furnace and replace the filter. This is something you should do every couple of months no matter what, I would think, depending on what kind of filter you're using. But it's definitely a good idea.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I tend to get to it about once a year, and it's always filthy when I take it out.
All right, clear gutters of leaves and debris to avoid ice damming. This is a really good idea. You know, some people think you do it just so that you don't have water running out over the gutters in the summertime, that your gutters are working. But in the wintertime, it may help with some of the ice damming.
What's ice damming, Paul?
That's a good question. Well, it's when you dam up a lake with ice, right?
Right.
No, it's when you get, it's a real problem here in the north when you have a lot of snow and rain and thaw and freezing and then thaws again. So what happens is that you get snow on your roof, and during the day, the sun beats down on it and it starts to melt, and all that water runs down your roof, and it gets all clogged up. And it may get clogged up even if you have clean gutters, but gutters with lots of leaves and debris are going to make it even worse because they're all going to freeze with the water. And the water then kind of just hovers down near the eaves of your roof, and then it freezes there. And then the next day, it thaws and it freezes. But as it freezes, then it pushes back up
under the shingles.
Well, it either leaks under the shingles, or when it in that freeze thaw cycle, it pushes itself up under the shingles and in the roof, and then it thaws again, and you get water.
Right. Interestingly enough, you can actually have this problem without gutters.
Yeah, sure.
If your attic is not properly vented and properly insulated,
absolutely.
One of the things that'll happen is warm air from your heated house will get into the attic and contribute to the melting of that snow on your roof. So the water will run down the roof, but then it gets to the eaves, which are colder because
they're hanging out over
the edge, and they're not getting the heat from your house, and it freezes there.
Dams, right?
And
that's where you get your ice.
That's
dams.
Where you get the ice damming. And
I almost
so,
didn't want to go into that whole ventilation because that's a whole big issue. But
yeah,
you're
maybe
right.
We take a whole show on that or something, right?
I mean, you can have the problem. It's the sun helps it, but then, like you said, you just even without the sun, if you have that heat in your attic, which you shouldn't have, you want the attic to stay the same temperature as the outside.
Ideally, yes.
And you want all that snow to stay snow instead of melting.
Right. And when it melts, you want it to melt consistently,
right.
Not just on the roof
exactly.
And not at the eaves.
There you go. So that's a good point. So clean out your gutters. That might help prevent that problem.
Okay.
Caulk any outside holes where exhaust pipes come through the siding. Sure.
I mean, exhaust pipes, that silcock we talked about, failing caulk around windows and doors. Even if you've got a recessed outlet, something like that, any of those little holes that you can get drafts through, caulk them up.
Winterize the lawnmower. We talked about this in our lawnmower care. You want to, remove the fuel, drain the fuel.
Right. So what I usually do is just run it dry.
Right.
So if I've got a push mower that has that dead man, they call it, the safety that you have to hold onto the handle for it to stay running.
Let me guess, rubber bands?
bungee cord.
Okay.
Not a safe practice. So don't.
What were we talking about earlier?
Right. But be safe
don't
about
do this
it.
At home.
But let the engine run dry. I do that every year on my gas power tools, let them run dry, and then they're ready for spring.
What I do is just I don't fill it up all the way. I go and mow my lawn, and when I know it's going to run out, and then if I need a little more, I just put a tiny bit more in just to get it finished and hopefully run it out. All right, what else, Brian?
Right. Well, Mike recommends changing the oil, sharpening the blade, remove the battery so it doesn't freeze if you have one. Those are kind of... more spring things. You know, I like to sharpen my blade in the spring, so I'm starting out fresh, and I change the oil in the spring and change the spark plug and filters and things like that in the spring. But you can do that in the wintertime as well.
He's got a good idea here. I've never tried it before. He says that you should put your patio furniture away. I can't just leave it out in the back porch. That's how I tell how high the snow is.
Right. So put your furniture away. I don't have any patio furniture, Paul.
Well, mine's aluminum. That's why.
An old picnic table.
He says if it's made of wood, it's a good time to seal them and they're ready for spring. He says to put them all away. My problem is, I've kind of like finished my basement and I don't have that much room in the attic, so I have nowhere to put it. So.
You got your garage?
Oh, yeah, but that's where I need my garage. That's my wood shop.
That's right.
So I don't want it there either. All right. He also mentions, if you have a floor drain in your garage, that you might want to check it. He had his freeze up, I guess.
That's right. So make sure if you do have a floor drain in a garage, or I was talking to someone today who had a floor drain in a outside basement entrance. They had like a little walkway down and so forth. Make sure that those are functional so that they don't freeze up in case you get water in there.
Sure. All right. Now, next week, we're going to talk a little bit more about... a little more specifically about how you can save some money for the winter season. And, you know, a lot of people are going to have some huge bills coming up this winter. I know home oil prices are big.
Paul, all fuel is going up. Electricity's going up. Fuel oil is going up. Well, that uses electricity, and that's solar. Going up. Unless you're powering your geothermal with solar and a wind turbine in your backyard.
Oh, now there's an idea.
Right.
I also have told any of the oil producers, if they want to go exploring my backyard, I'm willing to drill backyard.
And I'm willing to put up a turbine in my backyard, too. But zoning won't allow around here. And I'm up on the top of a stinking hill, and it's breezy, windy all day long.
Yeah, perfect right here, exactly. And where I live as well. I'm on a ridge.
Yeah.
So, all right, we're going to talk about realistic ways in which you can save money this winter without, doing any damage to your home or anything like that, although you might be a little bit uncomfortable in the house.
Right. We're looking to perhaps even have a show sponsored by one of the insulation companies, and we want to talk and maybe even demonstrate with some pictures on the website about doing, adding additional fill insulation to your attic to help keep the heating costs down.
Right. So we'll have some practical advice on how you can save some money this winter, and we'll talk to you next week. We're the Handy Guys.
I'm Brian.
And I'm Paul.
Thanks.
See you.